They didn't hear you. You need to say it again. We're glad you're here, and welcome. We're in the midst of the story, and can you believe it? We're in chapter 30 of the story. And for those of you that are not familiar with the story, it is a chronological Bible that we have been walking through this whole year. And we are, let us know if you want a copy of it. We'll get you, make sure you get a copy if you don't have one. But we are in chapter 30, and we have one more chapter to go after this. And so today and last week, we looked at four reasons why we should not give up. We're looking now at the time of the Apostle Paul's life, the missionary journeys. And we learned, you know, last week that we have a bright future. We have a family. You know, we can leave a legacy. And we realize, too, that there's no reason to fear anything. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So, but what about now, though? It's great to talk about the future. It's great to look forward, what we're looking forward to. But what about now? I've got problems in my life. I'm struggling. My health is falling apart. I've lost my job. My marriage is crumbling. Everyone in this room, we all go through periods of time where it just seems like the bottom drops out of our lives, and we wonder, you know, what is going on here? We got problems in our home. We got problems in our community. What about now, Paul? What about now? That's my question for him today. So today, let's talk about what is going to help us endure difficult times. Endure means to hold on, to persevere, to not give up. We're going to talk about today as we listen to the Word of God. Let's pray together today. Lord God Almighty, we acknowledge you. We join the angels and we cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." Lord God, we can't fathom your greatness. But this morning we acknowledge that there is no other God but you. The Lord is God. Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other. We thank you today for the examples of people in this room today that have endured difficult times. There's many testimonies in this room, Father, right now of people that who have gone through very, very difficult issues in their lives, and we thank you for their faithfulness. And today, Lord, we want to pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us through the Apostle Paul what you're wanting us to learn about dealing with difficult times in our lives. We pray that you'll give us the strength and a spirit of perseverance as we face those difficult times. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you right away what the answer is. You got your outline. Pull out your outline. Whenever you see a yellow word that is underlined, make sure you write that in your outline, okay? I'm going to tell you right away up front what it's all about. Isn't it great when a preacher gets right to the point? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, that could sit down. That's a good idea, David. What is going to help you endure God's promises? You're saying, that's it. Yes, that's it. And there's a lot more to it than you realize. I know what you're thinking. You don't like the word promise. Because we live in a nation that doesn't keep their promises very well. I promise that I will have and hold and be faithful to you to unto death. We get divorced. I promise I will be home tonight at 6 o'clock and we will do something together tonight, I promise. And you don't. Our culture does not like this word. Because when we hear it, we know in the back of our minds we're sitting there saying, well. And so we translate that to God. Well, if I can't trust my parent, if I can't trust my family or friends, why should I trust God? It is because of God's character, of who He is, that we can trust Him. And we'll elaborate more on this as we'll unpack this as we go. But there's a lot more to this. We should trust God because God is faithful. Here's a trustworthy saying, Paul says, as we look at some passages from 2 Timothy this morning. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. Powerful promise there. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. If we are faithless, He remains what, family? God remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. You know what that says? God doesn't stop being God just because you have a bad hair day. Bad faith day. That is one ugly cat. God doesn't stop being God. God doesn't stop being faithful when you and I have a bad faith day. When you're struggling and wrestling and your emotions and you feel God is 10,000 miles away, God says, I'm fine. How are you doing? God is the great I am. He is constant. He is consistent. He does not change. Amen? Amen. That is why you can trust in His character. And that's why you can say, yes, I believe His promises because of who He is. James MacDonald says, that how we relate to God is basically largely determined by what we do with His promises. And that's a very true statement. Everything that you do with God has to do with what you think about His promises, how you relate in your life, how you are faithful each day, the choices you make. All that stands between you and what He has promised you is time. Time. We know the promise is here today, but we have to wait until tomorrow to receive its outcome. You're not going to put it in a microwave and, put the promise in the microwave and it comes out and, oh boy, I got my promise. Here it is. It's fulfilled. No, you have to wait. And that's why Paul would say we walk by faith, we don't walk by sight. Faith is a confident trust that God will fulfill His promises. Faith, your faith, my faith, is built around God being a faithful covenant promise keeper. That's what makes you trust God or not, on what you think about His promises, whether you're trusting in them that He will fulfill them or not. Armenia is a country right above Iran and Turkey, a country that's not very familiar to most of us. But in 1988, there was an earthquake, a terrible earthquake. And as you can imagine, the country was scrambling to find out if loved ones were okay. A man named Samuel had a little boy named Armand. And every day before Armand would go to school, Samuel would tell him, "Don't forget, Daddy will always be there for you." He'd say it to him every day, just to build his confidence, to build him up as a child. Well, when the earthquake hit, he was at school. And as you can imagine, when Samuel arrived at the scene, the school was completely in rubble. And there were parents out there crying, and everybody was upset, and everybody was, imagining the worst. And everybody basically gave up. Samuel said, "I'm going to start digging right here. Anybody here want to help me?" "What are you, crazy? Look at the building. It's down. What are you digging a hole for? You going to join me or not?" Samuel started digging. Several hours went by, and the firefighters came by and kind of asked him, "What are you doing here? You kind of need to be out of this area." He goes, "I'm digging. I'm looking for my son. Would you like to join me?" "Whatever." All through that night and all through the next day, Samuel kept digging. Meanwhile, the parents were bringing these candlelight vigils and basically had given up. And And Samuel says he reached a point where he was about ready to give up, and all of a sudden he heard this little voice. Papa? It was his son. His son said, "We're all okay in here. I knew you'd come and rescue me because you said you will always be with me." All 14 children from the classroom came out alive. All because a father was faithful. Now, if a father like this is faithful to his son, can you imagine the faithfulness of God? God says, "I will come down into your earthquake. I will come down into your tragedy. And I will be close to you. And I will walk with you. And I will make sure that you're not by yourself." Our God walks with us during difficult times. He does. The issue is, do you trust Him? There's 3,573 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of promises. That's a lot of faithfulness. A lot of faithfulness to prove. God has a proven track record of faithfulness, by the way. Started in the garden. He promised to send a Savior to Adam and Eve, and He did. He promised Abraham and Sarah a nation, a land, and a child, and He did. He promised Israel that He would lead them to the promised land, and He did. Maybe that's why in Hebrews 11, all the Old Testament saints lived by faith. Because they knew God kept His word. He kept His promise. So there's still three promises, by the way, yet to be fulfilled. Can you guess what they are? Come on. What are the promises? Jesus coming. Very good. What's the next one? Judgment. Very good. Y'all peaked. And the last one? It's a home. Peter says there's a parking space in heaven just made for you. Jesus said in John 14, 2, I believe, He said, "In my Father's house there's many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." God is faithful to His promises. Your faithfulness continues through all generations, the Lord says. And I love this one from 2 Corinthians 1. Paul says, "As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." Say yes.
Yes.
Yes in who?
Christ.
All fulfilled in Him. So what's going to help you endure difficult times? It's going to come back to the God's promises, what you feel about God's promises. But my question to you today is, why does God make us wait? Okay, the promises are here. They're here for us to take. We got them today, but we have to wait until they're fulfilled. Why does God make us wait? Why did God make Abraham and Sarah wait 25 years for Isaac? Did you know that? That's a long time. It's because what's more important to God is the development of our faith and our character rather than our immediate gratification. Now, every parent in this room will tell you, what's the worst thing you can do with a child? Give them everything what? Give them everything they want. Immediate gratification. They never learn to wait on things and to learn to appreciate things. God wants to develop faith and characters. How's He going to do it? He's going to make us wait. Sometimes 10, sometimes 20. There's promises in this room that you're still waiting for. You have to wait. And part of that waiting process, God is saying, "I'm going to help you grow in your faith." Faith is like a muscle. You know, if you want to go to the gym and work out, that's one thing. But faith is just like a muscle. And to develop that muscle, you have to go through trials and tribulations, struggles. Because that's the only way God says in James chapter 1 that faith is developed by having trials. It gives us a spirit of perseverance. It helps us learn not to give up. The idea of having a flabby Christian passing the finish line, Derek, that's not going to work. Overcomers pass the finish line, amen? So how do we wait? Some days you just got to get up and you got to put one foot in front of the other. You just got to keep moving. Some of you in here are waiting and dealing with enormous problems in your life right now. You've got issues and struggles, and I'm here to tell you today, God is here, He is with you, He is walking with you, He will walk with you through the trial, but sometimes and some days you just got to keep moving and keep reminding yourself of the promises. That is what's going to help you endure difficult times more than anything else in this life. Paul says in a stinky dungeon in the Mamertine dungeon in Rome, I love this passage. It's one of amazing. It's got so much. You wouldn't think this guy is in jail. He's facing execution. And he says, I am not ashamed because I know. I know. Say it with me, family. You don't know. Say it. Whom I have believed. Come on, say it with me. I know. Whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. What had he entrusted to God? He had entrusted his very soul, his very life. And he says, I know whom I have believed. You can't shake me. You cannot put me down. I know whom I believe. I am convinced. And my question to you today is, are you convinced? Do you know? Do you believe? Because God is able. That is the essence of faith, to say He is able. He is able to overcome my problems right now. He is able to overcome my difficulties. The confidence is not in you. It is in God, who is able. You're not able. I'm not able. But are you convinced? Do you know? Do you believe? Are you entrusting what He has given to you? Do you really trust God? That's what it boils down to. So what are some promises of God that we can hold on to during difficult times? Two simple promises. And I think these cover the two main areas, I think, because this is the areas we struggle with the most. First, God deeply loves you. God deeply loves you. He is always, always with you. You're not alone. Paul reminds himself in 2 Timothy as he's closing his letter, at my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. You ever have an experience like that in your life where you're standing up for something you believe in? Or maybe your family walked away from you, your friends walked away from you, everybody walked away from you. What are you going to do to hold yourself up at that point? Paul says, may it not be held against them. I forgive them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles, that's us, might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. We don't know what that means. We can ask Paul when we see him. Were lions chasing you or something? Maybe they were. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever, amen. God stood by His side. And that is the truth that will carry you through the difficult time. Because the question that we all ask when the trials come, where is God? Why is He doing this to me? What is going on in my life? We feel His absence. That is the first conclusion we all come to, that God has somehow become Elvis and He's left the building. When in reality, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. That's what the text says. The reason you don't think he's near is because you're basing your faith on your feelings. You're not basing it on the promises of God. That's a promise. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit. God doesn't abandon us. He comes to us. And we think he's left. And he says, no, I'm right here. I'm closer to you. And I think of Joseph. When I think of trials and problems, not only Paul, but I think about Joseph. Man, what a great lesson from Genesis we can learn. I love the life of Joseph. He's the one guy I want to meet in heaven, hug him. I appreciate your story, Joseph. 13 years in prison, betrayed by his family, betrayed by his brothers. And yet, God gives him the gift of interpreting dreams. Why? He is preparing him for the next assignment. And I want to suggest to you today that God is preparing you. How does God prepare you? How did God prepare Paul for his difficult times? How did Paul prepare Joseph? Often through difficult jobs, difficult bosses, and difficult spouses and friends, and you fill in the blank. How do you know God is not using this circumstance in your life to prepare you for the next assignment? See, God sees it all. He sees your future. He sees where you're going to be 5 years from now. And he says, you know what? I need to get a little help, Chris, here a little bit with this trial so that he will be prepared to deal with. Isn't that what a good father would do? You're going to prepare your children for what they're going to face. That's what God does. God uses difficult circumstances to shape us, to chisel away at areas we need to grow in. Oh my goodness, this could be a month-long sermon series, easy. Just on this topic. Because it's in the difficult circumstances that we grow. Amen? I mean, we can all hang out on the roof, the mountaintop, and it's great to say, you know, hey, it's great to be up here with God, you know what I'm saying? But I spend majority of my life down in the valley. Why? That's where we grow. Because it's easy to trust God up here. Down here, it's much harder. And God says, you know, I'm not causing these in your life, but I'm going to use them to help you grow, like any good father would do. God's ultimate goal for each Christian, obviously Christ-likeness. God is forming us into Christ to be like Jesus. You think Jesus had an easy time of it? Hey, man, we're following a crucified Savior. Christ-likeness is his goal. You know, in 13 years, we think, man, what a waste of his life. No, not on God's schedule. God was preparing Joseph. And I love it how he awoke one morning in his prison cell, and he went to bed with a new wife and second in charge in all of Egypt. Don't you know he had a grin on his face going to bed that night? And I'm sure he prayed and thanked God because he knew God was behind it. Joseph's brothers come from Canaan during the seven-year famine. He hasn't seen them in 22 years. These are the guys that betrayed him. They sold him into slavery. You know, what would you have done? You're second in power of Egypt. What would you have done in that moment? You have power to kill. You have power to seek revenge. And this is where our faith, I believe, is greatly tested. During difficult times is when you have the opportunity to get revenge. When you have the opportunities to turn the tables on somebody. And you can be as mean and as vindictive as you want to be. True character at that moment will say, you know, God's in control. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to let God figure that one out. And what's beautiful is Joseph says, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Do not be afraid, he tells his brothers. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. How do we trust God when life makes no sense? I want to tell you right now, it's learning to see things from God's perspective. It's learning to say, you know, what is God trying to teach me during this difficult time? What is he trying to show me? Looking at it from his perspective and asking him, James 1:5, to give me wisdom, Lord. Help me see this from your perspective. When we choose to align our lives with God's story, his upper story, you know, you can put up with all the difficulties and the trials and the problems of life. Why? Because you know that ultimately God is in control and he's using our good and bad situations to accomplish his purposes, both in us and in the world. And that's the second promise. For the follower of Jesus, God is working all things together for our good, like a good father would. We know that in all things, Paul says, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It does not say, you know, in all things, God works everything out in the end and we have a nice, happily ever after Hollywood ending to everything. You know, that is the problem of America. We live by the media, don't we? We think everything's going to end out nice, and we've been trained and programmed to think that everything's going to turn out rosy red for us. And when it doesn't, we're like, hey, what's going on here? God is not saying all things are going to turn out, because there are a lot of unhappy endings for Christians on this earth. But in the end, God has the final say. And I know whom I have believed. I know he is able to keep me, and I'm trusting to what he has in me until that final day. All things, good things, bad things, God is working for the good of those who love him. The promise is only for followers of Jesus. You know, by their own choosing, all things work for bad for those living in rebellion against God. It doesn't always turn out well, especially for those that don't follow Jesus. But let me tell you something, that is a promise you can claim in your life. When difficult times hit you, when you're struggling and you're in the operating room, you're in the waiting room at the hospital, you can say, you know, in all things, God works together for good for those who love him. And I know God will bring good out of this situation. God allows, he doesn't cause trials in our lives. Why? Sometimes we need to be disciplined by the Lord for our stubbornness with a particular sin or rebellious spirit. We need a spanking. We need it. Sometimes God is testing the genuineness of our faith. 1 Peter 1:7. He's testing you. He's not doing it to hurt you. He's doing it to help you. To help you see where you are in your faith. He already knows where you are. And thirdly, God develops a spirit of perseverance and character in us through trials. That is the only way it can be done. It's through difficult times. God's motive is always love for us, seeking our highest good, and he's not punishing us. So many people think when trials hit that God is angry with them, he's punishing them. God is always working everything for our ultimate good. And maybe you've brought the trial on yourself. Maybe you've done some dumb things and made some bad choices. You know what? God can still work in that. He can still transform you. And I don't know what you brought into this building this morning. I don't know what you're going through in your life right now. I know what some of you are dealing with. And I know it's hard. I know there's difficult circumstances for some of us. And maybe some of you are not opening up and sharing. I don't know. But I know you're like this lady. You feel like you've got the burden of the world on your shoulders. I want to encourage you today that trials are temporary. What's cool about Joseph is he spent the first 39 years of his life struggling. But the last 71 years, when he died at 110, were in peace. Trials are not forever. And difficult times are not forever. You need to be assured of two things today as we leave, as we close out today. God deeply loves you. And I don't say that just to say a bunch of hype. I know he deeply loves you. He loves me. He cares about your life. He's promised to always be with us. And he's always, always working all things for our ultimate good. No one understands suffering and endurance better than Jesus Christ. So when you come to Him and you pray, Lord, I'm really struggling, I'm having all these problems, He goes, I've been there. I understand. And He wants to walk with you today. Today, if you've not begun your walk with God, wouldn't this be a great day to begin your walk with Jesus? He takes you as you are and forgives you and washes you clean. What does God want me to do? He, very simply, in the Bible teaches us that if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say, yes, in my heart I have sinned against God, I have hurt God with my sin, you know, and I'm ready to change my ways, I'm ready to stop going my way, which is what sin is, and make a 180 and start going God's way in my life. Baptism is where we begin that walk with God, where it's our wedding day between us and God, where we are born again of the water and the Spirit. Or maybe today you just need prayer. You just need to say, hey, you know, I'm struggling. Would you please pray for me? Because this is God's hospital. All of us are hurting and struggling this morning with something. Whatever you need is, won't you come as we stand and sing. There's a fountain of freedom.